The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump, my hump, my hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, and the show starts now. Welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. Oh, boy.
What's the matter?
I don't know. Are you worried about this game?
I'm a little worried about this game, and that's very unlike me.
Well, we're going to... We're going to talk about it. We have our picks today in the last half hour, so we'll get into depth about what we think of the Patriots game and all the other games going on in the NFL. Paul's here. I'm here, Fred. Kevin's in the booth. Andy has a daycare issue or something like that.
Yeah, someone drove into his daycare center.
And Eric will be here later.
Yes.
Right? So it's just me and you.
But Eric did go out to practice. And, yeah. You know, Fred and I were talking. Danny Amendola out there again.
Yeah. We're going to...
Limping around.
I want to talk about that after I give out the call info. It's webradio@patriots.com to email us. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. So, Paul, the big news is really the status of Gronk and Amendola. And both were out there today at practice. We don't know what their participation is because the media wasn't allowed to stay past the stretching.
Right.
And we'll get the... report later. I'm assuming it's going to say limited participation, right?
Yeah, I can almost guarantee that.
Right. And one of the tells that I thought in terms of Gronkowski was yesterday Brady's press conference. And, you know, of course they asked him about Gronk, and he's like, look, I just assume when he's ready to play, they'll tell me. And, you know, maybe that was a smokescreen, but I don't think he would have said that.
If he was going to play this week?
If he even thought he was going to play this week.
Well, clearly he knows now. I don't think it's a game time decision, do you?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Because I think if Gronk was in the game, you want your quarterback to know, hey, Gronk's going to be in there this week.
Yeah,
you know?
but you're operating under the assumption that he doesn't know.
Right.
Like that they didn't already tell him that he's playing this week.
Like I said.
I agree with you. I don't think he's going.
Yeah, it could be a smokescreen, but I don't know if Brady would get, you know, be that elaborate in his cover-up. So I don't think Gronk is playing.
That's what the reports earlier in the week. I think Ed Werder had something. You know, it was 50-50, but they were leaning toward not playing him, something like that. Now the Globe is jumping on that and saying similar things. To me, Karen Grigian has been well ahead of the curve on everything regarding Gronkowski going back to April and May. And that's pretty much what she said is – you know, even back then, that it would be a few weeks, and after the back surgery, there was a chance that he could play in some of these games, but more likely they were going to err on the side of caution and wait. And I actually think that's the wise course of action, don't you?
Well, I mean, don't put him in until you know he's ready.
Yeah.
That's it, whenever that is.
But I almost want to say, like...
If there's any doubt, don't play him.
Don't put him in until you know he's ready, and then wait another week. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I almost want to take it to the, you know, almost to the extreme.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it was interesting because the good question that was asked, and it was asked a couple times in
the scrum.
I love
when you give your stamp of approval.
Well, yeah. It was asked a couple times is, do you think you're ready? Are you ready to play football? Because that's really the question. What does he think?
That is a good question.
You know?
I made fun of you for saying it's a good question, but that's a good question.
And those were the ones where he was kind of giggling, you know, because you know that he wanted to say, yeah, I'm ready to go, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I don't think he's going to play this week. I can't imagine Amendola playing. I don't even know why he's out there.
Well, I'd be a heck of a lot more surprised if Amendola played than I would if Gronk played.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm going to go the other way. I don't think that they would have Amendola out there if they didn't think that there was a shot for him to play.
So you think he's faking it?
No, I don't think he's faking it.
Well, he can't walk. So I don't know how you can play football if you can't walk.
He's ginger. He's you
yeah.
know.
But yeah, I don't know how you can play football if you're ginger. I don't know what that means, but
you shoot it up and you play.
Yeah, well,
you know,
I think that's utterly insane.
Yeah, I don't know what the you know.
I feel bad for him.
We still
I really
don't.
At this point, I feel bad for him.
Yeah, we still don't. We probably never know. We'll know exactly what the injury is. If it is a sports hernia, then no, he's not playing. He can't play. It's
yeah, I don't know what the injury is.
But I don't know what it is.
I just know he can't walk. I've seen the video of his the footage of him being out there, and he can't move. He can't protect himself. So I don't think he belongs anywhere near a football field for real. Now, doing the stuff that he's doing right now.
But why put him out there?
It might just be just be part of his rehab that he's going to be doing some of this stuff. And, you know, maybe they're deciding in an effort to sort of dispel this notion that this is not a tough kid. This is a guy. Look what this kid is doing to try to get back out on the football field. You know, look at the state he's in physically, but yet he's still trying everything he can to play this week. You know, it's almost like a pat in the back to Amendola and to the team, because the team is you know, got a lot at risk here too, because they're the ones that made the move. They're the ones that thought
sure.
Amendola was the guy to replace Welker,
sure.
and they took some heat for that. And we know in talking, you know, way back in March, there was a lot of discussion about it internally.
Right.
And, you know, I'm sure that it's something that's on their minds.
Well, it's a financial investment. It's also an investment in their credibility
yes.
and their egos.
Yes.
So if that's the case, though, then if the only thing that's going to help him is resting, why is he out there? Again, we don't know. We're speculating. You know, like I have this Achilles thing. I know the only thing that's going to make it feel better is resting. You know, that's the only thing is trying to immobilize it as much as possible. And if that's the same thing, why is he out there? So maybe it isn't that. That's what I'm saying. Maybe
I don't know.
Maybe we have no clue as to what the injury is. And maybe
and I don't. I'll be the first. I have no idea.
And maybe being out there does no harm whatsoever.
Well, I'm going to assume that.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe that a team would put him out there if there was risk involved, that he could do more damage. But,
yeah.
You know, I think that it's part of, you know, his rehab, and they're doing it in a little bit of an unorthodox way because of the strange circumstances with this guy's reputation. And I think that they're trying to show everybody just how tough he is. Because, listen, we saw how tough he was in week one.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think they're trying to make sure Listen, it'd be sort of a strange thing for the Patriots to do, sort of acknowledging,
right?
You know, the public.
Right.
But I think this is a different kind of a case.
Non-Patriot news. What do you think about this blockbuster trade last night? Trent Richardson to the Colts for a first round.
Unbelievable.
Pick. You know,
I mean, we don't often see trades of this magnitude with guys that aren't. Usually, it's a disgruntled guy. And I don't think Richardson was disgruntled in Cleveland, not that I know of.
Although I do hear some stuff where he was a little bit of a diva.
Yeah, but that's not disgruntled. You know, I'm talking like Eric Dickerson, I'm not playing for you anymore. I
right.
need to be traded or
right.
something of
contract
that magnitude.
Related.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and by all accounts, you know, and now you're hearing some of these whispers coming out of Cleveland now that he was a bit of a diva. That's
right.
to try to make them look better. I think it's a pretty good trade for both teams. I think, you know what I think about running backs.
Sure, you can always find
one. the Colts, needed a runner. They lost their, Vic Ballard, and obviously Richardson is a talented kid, and I think that he does give the, an element of a running game to them, you know, with Bradshaw and with Indy. They don't have a whole lot in terms of weapons around Andrew Luck, so this gives them another one. So I like it from their perspective. I think a first-round pick, they're expecting to be a playoff team, I think at worst maybe 7-9, 8-8. So
yeah,
you're talking about a mid-first-round pick at worst, I would say, for the Colts. I don't think they're going to fall apart and hand over like a number 5 pick to them. I don't see that happening. And on the other side, Cleveland is by the time Cleveland gets better, you look at those shelf life for a running back. By the time they get better, he's probably not going to be a huge part of that. You know, if 4 or 5 years for a running back is a long time.
Right.
So you get another first round pick. I think they have extra picks still from, I don't know.
Who, Cleveland?
Julio Jones, maybe? I don't know. I think they have some extra picks. Maybe they made another trade last year. I'm confusing some of the trades. But I know Cleveland is stockpiling some draft picks, and that's what, you know, this is a different regime than the one that drafted Trent Richardson.
Right.
You know, Bill's boy, Mike Lombardi, came in. So maybe they're just looking to say, listen, we can stink with or without a good running back. Let's get another draft pick in here. Let's increase our chances. And you had made a – didn't you make a comment to me today? You could – package the two now, maybe get
right
up. You know, maybe they want Teddy Bridgewater or whoever they decide, you know, I don't know, Johnny Football.
Johnny Manziel.
You know, I mean, whoever they decide is worthy of that number one pick at quarterback. I think it's an interesting trade for both teams.
Sure. Now, Whedon's got a hurt thumb.
Thumb, yeah.
And they've named Hoyer as the...
Hoyer is going to be, he is going to start over Jason Campbell on Sunday.
Hmm. Well, good for Brian Hoyer.
Yeah.
See how he does.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have any illusions of how he'll do.
Throw him into to the Lions.
Yeah. I mean, he played a couple of games for Arizona last year, too, Hoyer.
Yeah. Let's see. Nick from Ottawa says that Amendola had a vasectomy. I don't think that's what it was. I really don't.
I think he'd be walking better if he had a vasectomy than what he's doing right now.
Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. 1-855-PATS-500 is the number. Calls are starting to stack up, Paul.
All right. Yeah, I know you don't like that, huh?
What, when the calls stack
up? When the calls stack up early.
Well, you know, what else do we need to talk about?
Well, it is only the two of us, so we don't have our normal banter, which stinks. You know, I hate when there's shorthanded shows.
Well, what do you think of iOS 7?
I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know.
Strippers wants to know.
I didn't download it yet.
You're going to hold
out. You
told
me about it. No.
I'll be at iOS 10, and you'll still be at iOS 6.
No. What am I on now?
I think you're on 6, probably.
Oh, okay. So 7 is the latest?
Yeah.
I'll do that when we get upstairs, then.
Yeah,
you'll show me how to do it.
Do it when you get home.
I have to do it when I get home?
It could take a long time.
I don't have a computer at home that I can do it on.
You don't need a computer.
I thought you just said you need to.
No, you go into your settings, and you hit software update, and it'll start doing it. But you need to be plugged in because... You know,
why can't I just plug it into my desk?
Because you won't be able to use your phone for a while.
Like how long?
Could be 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Some people are reporting 2 hours.
Some reports indicating it could be as much as 2 hours.
Well, it just depends on how many people are downloading.
There's a chance that I won't do it then if it's going
to
take
Probably. You don't need to, really. It looks different. I haven't really gone into all the different features and everything like that, but I never used all those features anyway.
Well,
you know?
Then, yeah. For me, it won't be much of a change then. I probably use like 10% of the phone's capabilities.
Let's go to Texas.
Let's go to the videotape.
On the Ace Ticket Hotline. Alvin's on the line. Hey, Alvin.
Hey, what's up, Paul? What's up, Fred? I was just wondering, are we still going to have Danny for this week? I cannot pronounce his last name.
Amendola?
Yeah.
Fred thinks there's a chance. I don't.
Yeah, if I had to bet, I'd say no. He's not going to play.
And what about Gronk? I think he should stay for another week, but I have no idea about.
Yeah, that. I don't either. But I don't think he's going to play either.
Yeah, I think Gronk has a chance, but I'm with Fred. I think they're going to wait another week.
Yeah, especially our painful receiving court. I was like, no, we're going to have a rough, painful receiving court. But anyways, I would like to throw a shout out to the PFW lead, Preamble the J, and I hope we win this week.
Okay. Thanks,
Alvin.
Preamble the J. I retweeted an article that one of my followers sent me, but it was written by Pete Prisco.
Yeah.
And it was pretty interesting. I mean, how he said how close they are to, you know, clicking. And he had some nice screenshots of, you know, some routes that Aaron Dobson ran and where, you know, one of them, you know, was more on Brady than it was on Dobson.
I think a lot of them were on Brady the other night. I don't think Brady played very well against the Jets.
You know?
I think that's part of the reason why I was so bothered by the body language. Because normally body language doesn't bother me anywhere near as much as it bothers most people. But I thought that he didn't play particularly well the other night. And for him to be acting like that on the times that he did deliver the ball where he wanted to, I thought was a little rough, a little unfair.
Let's go to Johnny in Nashville.
Go ahead. Let's go to Johnny.
Hey, Johnny. Johnny. Oh, did I not hit that right?
Why do you sound like Will Ferrell?
Johnny.
Baxter?
No, you hit it right, Fred.
Is Johnny there? No,
apparently not.
I guess I'm going to drop Johnny. Okay. All right, Johnny. Well, if you want to give us another shot, you can call us back. Dan writes in. He's in Virginia. Given the problems with the wide receivers, seems to be more about the connection with Brady rather than the actual talent. Do you think it would be useful to bring back Deion Branch in some kind of coaching role?
Coaching role? No.
No.
I would bring him back as like a just an extra guy. Like, instead of just having Edelman, if you have no Gronk, no Amendola, instead of just having Edelman out there for guys that you can rely on, I wouldn't mind having Branch out there to catch a pass or two, just to give another option for Brady. But no, he's not an upgrade over your rookies. Your rookies are better players than Deion Branch right now. And no, as a coach, I don't need
More of a philosophical question. I'm not panicking about the season, nor do I think Brady is declining. The rush to finally tout the demise of Brady, Belichick, and the Patriots, however, and the deluge of yet more hate on the Patriots has me asking a question. Would you prefer that Brady retire while still producing at a high level, thereby denying the haters their chance to wallow in the fulfillment of all their pitifully small dreams? Or should he leave it all out in the field, departing only when it's completely clear he has nothing left to give, but the haters could say, look, I told you he's no good. Look how skittish he is out there in that wheelchair.
Wow. I have nothing
no
to
comment?
Say. I have nothing to say.
I don't think Brady will play if he stinks. You know, I think he'll I don't think he's one to make a fool of himself out there. Remember Willie Mays?
Yeah, I know that's the one everybody brings up. I'm not sure that some guys know that they're not as good as they were. You know what I'm saying?
Right, but I don't think he's one of them.
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen him really decline to the point where it's noticeable. Now, I don't think he's as good as he was a couple of years ago, right now.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But he's certainly still good. And he's certainly worthy of continuing to play. Some guys, once they start slipping, they didn't want to play. If they can't be great and elite, they don't want to play. I don't know. I don't see him hanging. I agree with you, your premise. I don't see him hanging around if he's not playing at a pretty high level. But I don't know. What are you doing?
Kevin, could you get me a water?
You had to open the door for that as opposed to just saying it into the mic.
I don't know if he was listening. I heard him talking.
You cracked me up.
Robin in South Wales, which is in the UK.
Oh, thanks.
Dear Flegel, Bingo, Drooper, and Snorky, you guys can work out which of the banana splits each of you are. Remember the banana splits?
I do.
I was in their fan club.
I would not have been able to come up with all the names.
I don't know any of them.
Well, I remember the kind of the song, you know. La, la,
right,
la,
yeah, sure. I don't know the names, though. One, Marmite is a UK food product. It is very dark brown spread made of...
It's very unfortunate that Eric was right.
...made of yeast extract, a byproduct of beer brewing. It's thick and salty and is solid under the strap line of love it or hate it. I usually hate it. Australia has a similar product called Vegemite.
Vegemite. I knew that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's from the song, Men at Work.
Ah.
Yeah, Land Down Under, right?
Yeah, had a Vegemite sandwich.
Yeah.
Two, the sea hare is a variety of marine mollusk known colloquially as sea slug. Unlike a snail, its shell is internal. And three, love to hear you talk about Top Cat. In the UK, the series was renamed Boss Cat, because Top Cat was the name of a tinned cat food.
Oh, okay. I want to get back to this Men at Work. How, Kevin Collins, do you know Men at Work Down Under? A song that probably came out in like 1981.
Good song. I wasn't born yet, but it's a good song.
Yeah, it's not like that famous of a song. You know, it's not like an Elvis song.
Is that the one, Our House?
No.
I'll get it for you, Fred.
Oh. That's
Is that Men at Work?
Crowded House, maybe?
Oh.
I don't know. But it's an 80s song.
Is that the one?
Living in a Land Down Under.
Okay. Finally, says Robin, I noticed that Sebastian Vollmer is an anagram of a Marvel Best Loins, and Paul Perillo is a pile-up roll. Are there any other interesting Patriot-related anagrams? We'll have to. Why don't you work them out, Robin?
You send them in. I wanted to send a shout-out, Fred, because it's not something I'm sure you can get to the email, but it's a visual. The email who sent in the logos from the late 70s.
Yes, Cole. Writes in, and he's from Waterloo. We were talking about in the 70s they had a vote for a new logo, and it was an in-stadium participation type thing. And he sent the two logos, and looking at that, I can see why the fans voted to keep the old one, because they're awful. But you can also see where the genesis of the
Elvis.
Current one
absolutely.
Came from.
Absolutely. You know? When I saw that, and I clicked on that photo, it's the first thing I thought of is, wow, that's a little
right.
flying Elvis.
So maybe, Kevin, when you have a chance, I'm not saying you have to do it right now, so don't freak out on me, but... Maybe you can take these images and post them on the PFW in Progress for the Elite and the Preamble of the Jays so they can see what we're talking about. Cole Wigman's email. So thanks, Cole.
Got to play you some music first.
Okay. Okay. Yep.
That's Men at Work.
1981-ish. Yeah.
82? What was it? Does it say?
Definitely, look it up.
Definitely in my early MTV days.
Thomas in Baltimore. First, I have two comments. I'm getting tired of people downplaying the two wins that the Patriots have had over the Bills and Jets. If the Patriots would have blown both teams out, people would be saying, oh, it's because they played two rookies and they're bad teams. Second one.
You're absolutely right, and that's why they're downplaying the victories.
Second comment, one of you made the comment on a previous show that they didn't understand how winning a close game is beneficial during the season. I feel begged to argue. I think the Patriots need to win these types of games regardless of the opponent. If they go into the playoffs, it will be crucial for them to know that they can win close games. Mark my words, this team will win the Super Bowl this year. Thomas in Baltimore.
Hi, Thomas. I'll mark your words, and you're wrong. But I stand by that. I don't understand why it's better to win against a bad team by a little than a lot. Yeah. No one will ever convince me that that's accurate. And by the way, the Patriots haven't lost close games in the playoffs. They lost the two Super Bowls were close games, okay? In Arizona and in Indianapolis, the two Super Bowl games. Most of their other playoff losses, 05, not close. 05 wasn't close. 09 wasn't close. 10 wasn't close. 12 last year was not close. They have not lost close games in the playoffs as often as people say, well, they get in a close game, they don't know what to do. No, they get beat by a better team.
They've won
in the
close
playoffs.
Games.
They've won close games, absolutely. That's why I don't think it's an issue. You're with me.
Fred in Stockholm says, I just want to say that our defense should get a lot more airtime and elevation. Last year's overly strong offense have spoiled us to such an extent that we now focus too much on this offensive rebuild. I mean, it is totally expected that such a new constellation does not deliver on such a short time together, especially considering the difference between preseason and in-season tempo. Now it is D time. And we should put our focus and hope on them because they're the ones making the difference between 0-2 and 2-0. I'll agree with that. They certainly did.
Well, I would just ask how you
Paul
felt.
Would say, though, that the difference was E.J. Manuel and
no, I would say Doug
Geno
Marone
Smith.
In the first game. I think
Clyde Gates.
I think Manuel was fine in the first game. I just don't think the coach gave him anything to work with. But my question is, I would ask, is how do you feel? How do you feel the defense played? And I think the defense was fine. But how do you feel about the defense in the first two games? Were you sitting there looking at this and saying, "Wow, this is really good defense the Patriots are playing," or were you looking at it and saying, "We're fortunate that we played two rookie quarterbacks and that they're not ready to take advantage of the opportunities they've had against this defense"? Because I think the answer to me lies a little bit in the middle of those.
Tom is in New Jersey on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Got a fun fact for you here. I'm wondering if the Patriots' skill players on offense are the lowest-priced, most-value players around. Look at you got Tompkins, Boyce, Dobson, all making like $400,000 or $500,000. Ridley at $500,000. Julian Edelman at $750,000. Uman, even $1 million. I mean, their entire skill offense is probably about the price of Emmanuel Sanders.
And all their money's on the offensive line. I mean, it's a good point. Look, there's no doubt. But then Gronkowski comes back, and you know, so Amendola and Gronkowski make a lot of money, so you have to include them in there. But right now, you're right. With the guys on the field, you're right. Yeah.
These last couple of games, probably this Tampa Bay game and the Jets game, they were on the field with the most value.
Yeah, and for the money that you're paying Hernandez, that you know, for not playing, you could get a couple guys in there too. It's unfortunate. It's the way things are working out.
Do you think they poisoned the waters with Emmanuel Sanders to the point where they might, if Pittsburgh tanks this season, that they might not be able to make a trade with him and bring him in?
No, I mean, look, I brought that up yesterday. There's no bad blood. They made an offer. I don't think it was high enough, but they made an offer and the Steelers matched it. So as far as Emmanuel Sanders is thinking, well, you know, I'm wanted by two teams. You know?
Yeah, no, but I think his point is, do you think Pittsburgh would not want to deal with the Patriots because the Patriots went after one of their restricted trips? Well, it's a legitimate question.
Why? I mean, I don't. It's business. I don't think they did any. They didn't do.
No, I would tend to agree with you, but I think it's a question worth asking.
If they tried to put like a poison pill in there or something, then I could see them being pissed.
Well, I mean, you can't see them saying, you know, because they messed up with our player, we had to pay a guy more than we wanted to pay him.
Actually, they should thank us.
Why is that?
Because we didn't offer enough.
But they had to pay him more than they wanted to pay him. They had to pay him more than the restricted free agent tender that they offered him.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think...
I don't think it'll be any... I think Kevin Colbert is too good to allow that to cloud him. He'll make a deal if he thinks it's in the best interest of his team. But I think it's a question, definitely a legitimate question worth asking.
Yeah, I think that they could still deal with each other.
I do too, because I think Kevin Colbert is an excellent GM, and I don't think he would let a petty grievance, like that happen. I mean, was it not business when Brad Childress signed Garrett Mills off the practice squad from the Patriots? Wasn't that just business?
Wasn't there something else surrounding that?
No. He signed a guy that the Patriots wanted to keep.
Yeah.
And we got mad and signed a guy that they wanted to keep, and David Herron. It was just business, but sometimes you get rankled by business.
Well, we'll have to ask Zoltan Mesko. He probably knows.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't think they're bringing Terrell Owens in for practice, huh?
No. No.
You really want that?
I want it because he's so physical. He's so big. He's skilled. He should have good hands. I mean, there's no reason why he can't.
But he doesn't.
You want to see Brady.
He should have them, but he doesn't.
You want to see Brady going crazy. Bring him on the team. He drops a lot of balls.
Get rid of me. Trade me. Release me.
I just don't know why you want to bring in a guy like that. I think you're trying to do it a different way. We have to be patient, Tom.
We just need to be patient.
Yeah, they'll get better. They always get better as the season progresses. I don't see why people are going to be as worried about that aspect of it.
It just seemed like if they had some veterans where they could sit down the young starters and give them a little time to collect themselves if they have a few bad plays. Yeah.
They had them. Donald Jones and Jenkins, but they got rid of them. They just didn't think they were as good as the guys they had. We just have to wait for Amendola and Gronkowski to come back.
That would have been the reason to keep Jenkins. That's really the only veteran they had. I don't think he was good enough. I don't think it would have been worth it to keep him. I have no problem with allowing these guys to play and take their lumps. I think they'll get better. And I don't think you get better by sitting and watching.
By the way, Paul, 1981, that was a good call.
Exact?
It's impressive.
Well, I knew it was an early MTV.
Yeah, that's really impressive.
That's in my wheelhouse. I was like in the seventh grade.
Eddie's in Maryland. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, boys, what's going on?
How you doing?
Hey, Eddie.
Good, good. The reason why I'm calling is there's something that's been irking me lately. Chokes talking about, you know, the people who call in and sounds like they're jumping off the ledge and, you know, they don't, you know. There's a reason why some fans, I call real fans, feel that way. There's a mistrust of the Patriots going on, I think.
A mistrust?
What do you guys think? Like, just the way things are run, the way things are done.
Well.
You know, just the whole Amendola thing is something that I've just noticed. There were rumblings that they were looking into him last year, correct?
There was, you know, I don't know.
Who?
Amendola. There were talks that
last year
maybe the Patriots were interested in Danny
Patriots
Amendola.
Fans have been talking about Amendola since he was at Texas Tech.
It's true.
But
yeah,
no,
so
there were no rumors of him being acquired until this year.
Yeah, so it's just they kind of, for you know, when the whole trade came through, I like Amendola. He's a good player. I'm not saying anything bad about the situation going on now. But just a simple fact that they thought that the best way they're going to make the team better was going after replacing Wes Welker with an Amendola. That's the thought process. You know, like, that just kind of boggles my mind a little bit. Like, you're just going to get better by replacing a guy who catches 100 balls for you every time and is always playing by a guy who doesn't really, you know, make half the season, pretty much.
That's the roll of the dice. That's what they took the shot that he would be healthy, and so far he hasn't been. But yeah, not otherwise it was a no-brainer. You're replacing a guy with a younger version. I mean, I think everybody would want to do that. I can get a very similar skill set in what, he's 6 years younger? 27.
Yeah.
I think Amendola is 27.
Yeah, about 6.
Yeah, so 5 or 6 years younger. I think any team would do that, but with the good comes the bad. The bad is that he has not demonstrated an ability to stay on the field for 16 games.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But also the defense, things of that sort, just all these little things that make you wonder, you know, the whole way they do things. It's, at the end of the day, Bill is, he's God, and, you know, hey, he knows more than everybody else, then, well, you know, until
he's
he changes
not,
a little bit.
He's not perfect. There's no doubt, and no team
somebody
is.
Somebody could fool me.
You know,
he must,
I mean, if he was, they'd be winning Super Bowls every year.
Yeah,
know?
That's what I say.
and you just can't do that. I don't know. But like I said yesterday, they need a few more years for me to say that they've lost it in terms of running this team. You know, they have to prove to me that they're not good rather than some fans who believe, well, prove to me that you're good this year.
Well, I don't think anybody's saying that.
I think there are a lot.
We can continue our Tuesday and Wednesday arguments, but I don't think anybody's saying that they're not good.
But guys, I've been speaking this the whole time that, no, they are good.
Thank you.
But that's because of Tom Brady.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if Tom Brady's not there, the team is horrible. I think
Logan Mankins and a lot of guys.
There's a lot of marquee guards that you know take you from being bad to good.
I think that, you know, Wilfork and Mayo, and I think there's a lot of guys that have to do with the Patriots being good. Not, you know, Brady's huge. You know, he's the main thing, but there's some talent on this team. It's not like they're cobbling together and, you know,
it's
just
not as talented as their win total indicates. I'll say that.
So, but that's why, guys, I call. And it's not because, you know, I want to put the team down and I don't believe about us. It's just little things that you see that you realize that, you know, something's got to change. And they still haven't changed it. They still do things the same way. And because of Tom Brady, it works. But when he's not here anymore,
well,
it's not going to work.
All right, but maybe there'll be somebody else.
Let's hope.
All right. Thanks
Eddie. But I'll even give you, you know, let's get off the Patriots so you don't get defensive. I don't think the Denver Broncos are as talented as their win total was last year, and I think you proved that. When Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker, they're good players. They have talent. Demaryius Thomas, in particular, is very talented. Matter of fact, our buddy upstairs is probably laughing at me right now. Kenny tells me how great he is all the time. I always tell him I think he's more of a product of the system. But he's got talent, first-round pick. But when you had no one giving him the ball, they were an 8-8 team. Now you have a Hall of Famer giving him the ball, and they're, you know, arguably the best team in football, if not just the best team in the AFC.
Yeah, but it's a combination. I mean,
so
you see Brady.
They're not as talented as their their record would indicate.
But Brady can only do so much, as we have seen.
Right. And that's why they haven't been able to win Super Bowls.
You know?
Because you can only do so much when you have to make up for that,
well,
that talent.
They had, you know, Moss and Welker, and they didn't win. It's not always the best talent wins.
Fred,
you know?
I'll continue to say it is ridiculously disingenuous to say the 2007 Patriots didn't win. It's unbelievable for me, for anybody to say that.
What do you
when
mean?
You go 18-1,
no, they didn't
and
win
and
the
for you
Super
to say
Bowl.
They did. They got upset in the last game of the year.
Right.
It happens.
They got dominated.
Don't tell me that team wasn't talented.
Of course.
Don't tell
were.
Me it wasn't more talented than the Giants.
The most talented team doesn't always
yeah,
win.
Yeah. Every once in 19 games you get upset. Exactly. I think it's ridiculously disingenuous.
Do you think
to
they were more talented?
Do
you think they were more talented than the Giants in 2011?
No. And I said that going into the game. I thought the Giants were better. They beat them in the regular season here, and they beat them in the Super Bowl. I think the Giants were better in 2011. In 2007, no. The Patriots were better. They got upset.
If Gronk was playing, they would have won in 11.
You might be right. They might have won the game anyway, but I don't think they were as good as the Giants.
Sean's in Ireland. Hey, Sean.
How's it going?
Good.
Can you hear me okay, yeah?
We can hear you.
We can hear you, yeah. Did you use a toll-free number?
I did indeed, yes.
Great.
No, I just rang it. I can't understand why they're looking for T.O. and these back. Like,
they're not looking for T.O.
Yeah, that's fans saying
don't,
that.
Don't worry about that. Sean, is it Sean?
Yeah, Sean.
Yeah, Sean, don't worry about that. They're not. There was an article in the Boston Globe that was an utter, complete embarrassment. So give me a big check mark for the Boston Globe. They had a guy who covers basketball. I'm not lying. I'm not making this up. They have a guy who covers basketball for a living who watched a YouTube clip of a workout that Terrell Owens recently did and wrote a whole column saying that the Patriots should give him a chance. People, even the fans really aren't glomming onto this one. The Patriots haven't said, now listen, maybe the Patriots will stun me and go out and sign him. But as far as we know right now, there's no interest whatsoever in Terrell Owens. Am I wrong, Fred?
Yeah, no. But not him. Like, you read up on fans and they'd be looking for Randy Moss and all this. But, like, I just think they draft these young fellas, give them a go.
I agree.
Give them a go at the end of the season.
I'm with you, Sean.
And work out.
Listen, I wish they had a veteran in here to sort of help them out. And if they could get one, you know, like a role playing veteran, not a Terrell Owens or a Randy Moss. I'm talking about a guy, you know, maybe like a
Julian Edelman.
A guy that, you know, who can play outside the numbers and do some different things and help them. A veteran who you can rely on, not Julian Edelman. A guy like Deion Branch 3 years ago. I think he's too old now, probably to fill the role that I want him to fill, but. If they could get someone like that, Fred's guy, Emmanuel Sanders. I'd be for bringing him in to see if he can help out a little bit. But I agree with you, Sean. You have these young guys. I think there's some talent there. There's three kids that need reps. They need experience, and I think they'll be better players for it. You got to ride it out.
Yeah, that's what I think. I just these people jumping off ledges and all this. Like, it's only two games in, like.
Absolutely.
If you look at the year the Giants bet us 2007, they want to run Eli Manning out of town and whatnot. And what happened? They ended up winning.
That's right. Keep the faith, Sean. And thanks for calling in all the way from Ireland. That's great. Let's go down to Miami. Marcus is there. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How you doing?
Hey, Marcus.
I'm good. I'm actually in Tampa right now getting ready to go to Miami. I'm in the city that we're going to play today in. I was kind of surprised that Golston is getting back in, is going to be ready for this game. But I think that we're going to take this win. I mean, honestly, I've been hearing a lot of slack, you know, about our team, about, you know, we're not prepared. We're the worst 2-0 team. I don't believe that. I mean, if you look at that Thursday game, Aaron Dobson he got separation, I mean, a lot that night. Yeah, I think it was a little bit of jitters, and he dropped some balls. It was wet. But, I mean, I think going forward, if we can really stick out with the receivers that we have, and, you know, we can get Brandon Bolden back in there and really cannot fumble. I think we'll be all right. I mean, because you got to look at who we play, the cornerbacks that we play over the next, couple of weeks. We have Tampa Bay, we got Atlanta, we got Cincinnati, you got New Orleans. Then we're going back again to New York and Miami. I mean, I think by the time that it's said and done after our bye, I think we'll be the best team in football. I mean, look at our secondary has cause turnovers. We've done that. It's just, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't think as much as you do. I don't think they're the best team in football. I
can't go there this year, Marcus. Here's the thing. Going to have to win like a lot of teams win, you know, when they're not necessarily the best team. They're going to have to, you know, game plan, win it with guile, get a little luck, you know, that type of thing. And they've done that before, so it wouldn't be the first time we've seen that.
And that's why I'm saying I'm not writing them off as a good team. I'm just not ready to call them the best team in football after they get these, you know, these little things straightened out. And what I don't like is, and I understand that we're Patriots fans, so we're Patriots-centric. We look at it from our perspective. We don't worry about what the other team does. But we sit there and say, the Patriots offense, Aaron Dobson got separation the other night. He dropped a couple of passes. And if he didn't drop those, you know, like Pete Prisco's column today, I read a little of it. I thought it was a little silly, to be honest with you. How many teams don't get receivers open in the passing game? Like how many teams do you think that they're struggling right now offensively wouldn't look at the film and say, wow, we're really close? You know, we had some opportunities to make some plays that we just missed. Wouldn't you think in most teams? Now, Jacksonville probably didn't just miss on a lot of them.
No, I know, but
most teams, like,
he started the article.
You don't think the Jets,
I know, but
you don't think the Jets just missed making a lot of plays the other night?
He started the article out by saying, you know, a lot of people are saying the Patriots are finished and they stink.
Right, because it's a straw man argument like yours.
No.
A lot of people aren't really saying that.
They are saying that, Paul.
A lot of people aren't really saying that, but we're gonna pretend. I think everybody thinks the Jets stink, right?
A lot are.
Play along, will you?
Okay.
Everybody thinks the Jets stink, right? A lot of people think the Jets were a 2 or 3 win team, right?
But they won't take as much pleasure in the Jets stinking.
No, but how close were they to making plays the other night? How many times did they have a guy drop a ball that was open? A
couple times.
A lot of times.
But they weren't big plays.
Oh no, Clyde Gates dropping a touchdown. I know that had nothing to do with
Prisco,
that had nothing to do with the outcome of a 3-point game. You're absolutely right.
What Prisco was pointing out is that these young guys for the Patriots, you know, may not be as bad as people are saying they are.
And I agree with him on that point. But what I'm saying is to say that they're this close to clicking, I think 28 teams that are struggling right now could say that.
But they don't have Tom Brady.
So what?
It makes a big difference.
But yet, despite the fact that the Jets didn't have Tom Brady, they still were razor thin away from winning a game. But their receivers let them down in the first three quarters, and their quarterback let them down in the fourth quarter.
Right.
But they were very close to making a lot of plays. I think the Jets stink, so I don't think the Jets are going to get that much better. But the Patriots will get better because they have Tom Brady. I don't think there was that much difference between the two passing games the other night.
No, not that night, but there will be.
But we're looking at it as like, oh, the secondary is taking the ball away. Well, they took it away from Geno Smith.
Well, if they hadn't, then we'd be on them for not doing it.
Wow, I wasn't on the secondary for not taking the ball away from E.J. Manuel.
You're supposed to take the ball away from, you know.
But he threw it to them is my point. I don't think they took it away from anybody. He threw it to them the other night. The takeaways against Buffalo, Kyle Arrington caused those. He stripped the ball from C.J. Spiller on a great play. You know, kicking the ball as you're falling down on a 35-yard catch, I'm sorry, that's not taking the ball away. That's what they did against the Jets, right?
Kicking the ball.
Yeah, when Tlaib got torched by Stephen Hill down the middle, and he was bringing him around, and he kicked the ball out as he was falling down on I think it was a 37-yard reception. Is that the kind of defense that you would say taking the ball away?
No, but, you know, flushing Geno Smith out of the pocket and forcing him to make a bad throw is part of good defense.
I don't think that happened.
Oh, all right. Larry in Miami. Hey, Larry.
Hey, what's going on, guy? But for that first call, I believe, talk about Welker and Amendola. It's pretty much like telling me that, you know, the Patriots took a chance on an over-reliable guy for a guy that's young and old man bones. That's what I think.
An old guy with young bones versus a young guy with old bones.
Yeah, it makes no sense to me. Yeah.
Well, here's my problem with the whole thing, Larry. They could have had them both.
Yeah.
They could have had them both. It wasn't cost prohibitive, and I think that you'd be you'd have the best of both worlds. And I think that they let it get personal, and I don't like that. That bothers me. It bothered me then, and it still bothers me now.
And that shocker yesterday, I was very stunned what the Colts did, getting Trent Richardson. I'm like, I was thinking, like, should Bill be thinking about a first-round pick for a good receiver, Larry Fitzgerald or something?
Well, you're not going to get Larry Fitzgerald for a first-round pick.
Well, I'm just saying. I know we can't get him, but something, you know.
I mean, certainly not the Patriots' first-round pick. I mean, Arizona would be crazy to trade, you know, what, 26, 27, 28 in the first round for Larry Fitzgerald? Arizona would be crazy to do that.
Well, they say we're not going to be as good, so as well.
That's why I had him down to 26 instead of 29, like last year.
Well, it's just 2 games within the season, but it's just very uncomfortable right now.
It is uncomfortable, but you know what? Welcome to what the rest of the NFL fans have to go through every year. Let's deal with it like fans and
I love those rationalizations,
you know,
that Freddie throws out there.
Here we go. Let's go.
This is what everybody else has to deal with.
Don't freak out. Don't run away.
I'm not freaking out.
Confront it head on.
Sing it, Larry. Tell him. You're not freaking out. Tell him. Explain it to him. Explain to him the difference between thinking you're going to win every game by 50 points and then being a little concerned.
Who thinks that?
And now you're being concerned that, hey, maybe these games are maybe we'll only win 12 instead of 14. Yeah. Explain to him the difference.
There's all kinds of stuff going on Spike TV while the NFL's on Sunday. You can watch that. I'm not talking about you, Larry, particular. I'm talking, you know, in general. If it's too much for you, if you're too squeamish, if you can't handle it, then don't watch. You know, but us fans, we will be there.
Is it okay if you're frustrated that you don't think the team did as much as it could to be at that level that we've been accustomed to?
Yeah, is that okay?
Or is that freaking out, as you call it?
Well, I think it's irrational because I think they have.
Should those people, the people that wonder where all the cap space is being,
couldn't have planned on what happened.
Why isn't
this
that being used? But the cap space is there, so why aren't they using it?
They couldn't have planned on.
You don't have to plan for anything.
Yeah.
They have resources to use. Is that okay, or should those people watch Spike TV too?
Who should they sign?
I don't know.
Tell me.
You told me that Emmanuel Sanders, they didn't pay enough for him.
I think they
should. So should that fan, now should you watch Spike TV on Sunday instead of the game?
But you know, you're not going to be perfect. No team is.
Yeah,
no team is. Show me the team that's perfect on every draft pick and every free agent decision, and I'll show you a team that wins the Super Bowl every year.
So the people that are upset, like Larry and myself, that they didn't make some of these moves. Why should we have to watch Spike TV? But it's okay for you to say no one's perfect.
I'm talking about the people who are, it's over.
No. Nope. And again, every single guy that we have calling is not saying that.
Oh, there's some of them are. All right, Larry.
Only you are saying
Larry,
that.
Larry, thanks.
Thanks, Larry. You were a good partner. I like that.
Paul from Portland, Oregon says, just imagine if we still had Welker. Seriously, we'd be feeling a lot better about the prospects of having a winning team this year. I'm not sure about that, because if you have Welker right now,
you are unreal.
If you had Welker right now, okay, and everything else happened the same way, you'd be talking about a Bills game that pretty much came out the same way it did, because you replace Welker with Amendola with Welker, and Welker bails you out the way Amendola did.
Again, why couldn't you have both?
Well, I'm not talking about both.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And then in game two, do you really think that Welker would have made that much of a difference in that, you know, against the Jets that night?
Listen, I you can't just pop a guy into a game and tell you what the difference would be. Yeah, if you're asking me if I thought Welker would have made a difference, yeah, because I don't think he would average 6 yards a catch. I think if he makes 13 catches, he would have been about 150 yards instead of 78. That's just me.
I think if you had Welker here right now, you'd still be having some problems without Gronk and without these rookies stepping up yet. And with Shane Vereen being out, you'd still be having issues.
Not like this, number one. And also, you would have Welker and Edelman, not one or the other.
I thought you didn't like Edelman. You don't think
I don't. I don't like him in a lead role. I don't. I think you saw that the other night, 6 yards a catch. But the true irony of this whole argument is you're making me argue something I don't even think Welker was that good. And now you're being so disrespectful to a guy who I thought was overrated to begin with, but you're being ridiculously disrespectful.
Oh,
he wouldn't make a difference.
I'm saying
just said he wouldn't make a difference. They would have squeaked out 2 wins with him or without him.
I think
that's ridiculous.
I think Amendola played the role of Welker very well in week 1, and it was still a tough game.
But why not have him out there with him?
Okay, but that's different. See, I'm not talking.
But that was your choice.
Absolutely.
That's what some of the people are upset about.
You have
$10 million in cap space, and you got rid of this guy for nothing over peanuts.
If you have both of them, then, you know, okay, that's, but.
And again, I'm not even the biggest Welker fan out there. There are people that think a lot more of Welker than I do. Can you imagine how upset those guys are?
Well, we've already know. I mean, a lot of people have said they're never going to watch.
That they haven't. Stop.
I had a person come up to me after Welker and said, I don't know if I can watch the Patriots anymore. Came right up to me. Person I know.
Yeah. One person. And that's supposed to be indicative mindset?
There's a lot of people out
one
there.
One person came up to you and said something dumb, and that's indicative of a mindset?
A lot of people are freaked out. And, you know, they just have to come to grips with, you know, think teams go through changes. And sometimes there's bumps in the road before it smooths out. And right now, the Patriots are going through a bump, you know, bumps in the road. And fortunately, they're 2-0. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Paul needs to cool down.
I get plenty of time to yell.
And the food's here, so we'll be right back.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios triple play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
Well, we were talking about back in the day when the Patriots had more dual practices, and the Giants used to come quite a bit down at Bryant College where the Patriots used to have the training camp. So one day, the Giants were set to arrive, and at Bryant College, it would always be a Dell's truck set up. I love Dell's
frozen lemonade.
Yeah. It's like a Rhode Island, Southern Mass thing. You can't get it anywhere else. I don't know why. I would always get Dell's, you know, before practice, and one day, I decided, oh, you know what, I'm going to...
It's called slush anywhere else.
No. Dell's is different than slush. So I decide, okay, I'm going to buy all the PFW guys, all my guys Dell. So I go to the Dell's truck and I get a tray of, I think I had like 9 cups of Dell's. Just as I'm walking back, the Giants arrive. So all the Giants are walking up the path led by their head coach, Jim Fossil. As I'm walking by, I say to Coach, welcome to the Patriots training camp. While you're here, you got to have a Dell's. And I'm holding this tray. She goes, oh, great. And he starts taking them and giving them out to his coaches. So I'm like Kraft when Putin took
the ring.
What do you do? You know, oh, no, those aren't for you. So I let him take them, and I was out all that money. I had to go back and spend another $30.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
See what you get for trying to be an ambassador?
That's right.
Keep your head down and your mouth shut like I would have.
I could totally see where he... You know, the miscommunication was, so I just shut my mouth and let him take all my Dells.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. It's the Paul and Fred show. Andy will be by. Oh, no, he won't be, but Eric will be by a little later. And then we'll do our picks for week 3. So I probably won week 2. I'm not sure. I wasn't keeping track. Robin in Alaska writes in, I'm tired of the Amendola and Welker issue. If Welker wanted to be a Patriot, he'd be a Patriot. Teddy wanted to stay a Patriot, and he did. Troy thought about leaving for the Saints, but thankfully his sons are geniuses and told him he's Mr. Patriot. The Patriots aren't ungrateful employers. They do work with their guys, and Welker was definitely a Patriots guy. He did everything. But contracts are a two-way street, and football is a business. Welker left. Blame the middlemen if it makes you feel better. But damn it, Welker is not walking through that door. So
I agree. If Welker wanted to be a Patriot, he'd be a Patriot. I agree with that. Now, the flip side is, I think if the Patriots wanted him to be a Patriot, he'd be a Patriot too.
This is Brian. Welker listened to his agent, plain and simple. They left the table during negotiations with the Patriots, and the Patriots had to ensure they were going into the season with a slot receiver. Welker himself signed a contract for $500,000 less than the Patriots had offered him. Don't blame the Patriots for this. Welker and company should have given the Patriots some idea that there was room to negotiate. Neither he nor his agent did that. I'm really tired of hearing it's the Patriots' fault. BS. It's Welker and his agent's fault for not understanding his value, plain and simple. So,
again, I agree with that, but I do agree that it's the Patriots' fault as well. I think that both sides, bungled that from the get-go.
TG and NJ says, Paula, we all know you don't like Welker, but I still don't know why. After how things have played out for both the Patriots and the Broncos this season so far, I still don't get why you don't value Welker. It's obviously the biggest blunder of the blunder-filled offseason. I need to hear you back up your opinions. I just don't get it. I can see it now at Welker's Hall of Fame induction ceremony. There's Paulie sitting in the crowd. I wouldn't have voted for him. And Fred, if when West gets
you won't see me in the crowd, but I'll be saying it probably here.
If or when West gets a ring with Manning, how will you feel about it?
Fred will be pissed. He already hates Welker. Haven't you heard the first hour of the show?
I'll be pissed because that means that the Patriots didn't win that year. But I root for Wes. I like Wes Welker.
Yeah, you're rooting for him.
I have no problem with Wes Welker. You know? I'm just saying that, you know, as good as he is, they'd still have problems this year with him because of all the other stuff that happened. You know? You can't ignore that. It's not just, if we had Wes, things would be different.
They'd still
have issues.
Let me ask you something. If Amendola played against the Jets, would it be different?
Yeah, a little bit, but I still think there would have been a tough game.
Then they made a bad choice getting him there.
You know, I think the Jets are a good enough defense where if you have limited options, they're going to take it away from you. You know? You can't have limited options against a decent defense. Because as we've said, in this league,
then you overpaid.
Teams generally are able to...
You overpaid for him then.
Who?
Amendola.
Why? Well, but the same you paid for Welker.
Yeah, but I think Welker would have made a difference. You don't think Amendola would have made a difference.
I think it would have been the same having either one of them out there.
Yeah, I think that's insane.
I think Amendola is as good as Welker.
You think the offense, in other words, was the same in the first game as it was in the second game?
It was a different game. One had poured in the second half. It was a different
game. It didn't have anything to do with the game,
Fred. Different defense.
The pouring didn't really impact the game.
Different defense. They
were terrible in the first half, too. It didn't rain until the halftime ceremony.
You know, it was different. It was a different game, different defense. Rex Ryan knows the Patriots better than Doug Marrone.
Yeah, but I didn't ask any of that other stuff. I asked you if you thought the Patriots' offense was different from week one to week two.
I think they both times. I think in week one,
I mean, putting
their 23
points on the board while turning the ball over constantly is a little different than putting 13 on the board while protecting the ball all night.
And you don't think the Bills' the Jets' defense is better than the Bills' defense?
I do think the Jets' defense is better than the Bills' defense, but I think if Wes Welker or Danny Amendola had played, it would have been a better offensive performance.
That's the key word, or.
Well, I think it would have been a lot better with Welker than Amendola.
Or.
You think it wouldn't have been. You think it would have been the same. You already said it. That's why I asked you if you thought it would be better with Amendola, because I didn't want to get into your petty jealousy with Welker.
I think with Welker on this team right now, and not with both of them, okay, that's a different story.
No, one of them.
You know,
that's why I said Amendola. You don't think it would have been different with Amendola?
I think
they'd
still be having trouble right now.
Yeah, I don't think they would have had trouble if Amendola played against the Jets. I mean, assuming that what we saw in the first game is what he is, I don't think they would have had trouble scoring 13 points. Now, maybe that was a one-time thing, but I think more of what I saw in the training camp, I think they would have been much better offensively with Amendola.
Phil in Nova Scotia, I just thought of a great new pro shop item, Amendola Hospital Wristbands. I'd buy that for $1. So here's what I'm thinking as a fan. It's going to be an interesting year watching the offense rebuild itself. It's been ugly. It's going to be ugly, but I'm sure it will be steady, if slow improvement. So while my excitement level will be tempered, my interest will be up. I'm also looking forward to see who steps up on the defense. Arrington seems improved, and Jones remains poised for his second-year jump. Do you think the defense will be more aggressive when playing close or from behind with a less reliable offense? I think as far as that defense, it totally depends on who they're playing. You know, they're a game-plan defense. They don't have, you know, guys that you just unleash because they're just going to win every matchup. They're game-plan.
I agree with you. TG asked the question about Welker, and listen, clearly I underestimated Welker from the start, but I have never embraced him as much as others, in part because I look at what others do when he's not there, and I think Welker is better than Amendola. I think Welker is better than Edelman. But I see similarities in what happens when those guys were out there as opposed to what I saw with Welker. That's part of the reason why I don't think that he is this, you know, Hall of Fame player, to use TG's example. I think he catches a lot of passes. I think that's great. I think his durability is special. But I don't think he's special as a player. I don't think he's I don't think he's really as big an impact player as others do. Now, am I stubborn? Of course. Everybody knows that's listened to me for 12 years in this show knows how stubborn I am. Absolutely am. I'm stubborn. I can't get around that. But I appreciate Welker. I just never loved him the way a lot of other Patriots fans did. And to me to say something different now is just turning into a contrarian. And, oh, now he's on someone else's team, so I'm going to tell you how much better he was than you guys appreciated.
But, Paul, given evidence...
That makes me wrong.
Given evidence, people, you can change your mind. You're allowed to do that. You can say, you know what?
I did. I thought he sucked. I changed my mind and said he was a lot better than I thought he was. I did. Fred, you know what I thought of him when they originally got him. I thought he was a jag. He's better than a jag. I mean, I did change my opinion of him. I just don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
Alex and Philly, blow up the team. We're never going to win the Super Bowl. The window has officially closed.
Nice, Alex.
Okay,
nice.
Okay, is that what you wanted to hear, Fred?
Yes.
I just wanted to help your straw man argument about the doom and gloom fans. Seriously, Fred, stop listening to those idiots.
All three of them.
On curse words that want to cut Brady after every incomplete pass. I think most of us are concerned that the offense stinks and are even more concerned that we will have to rely on the D to win games for us. But we still stand by the Paul Perillo principle. It's Brady, it's Belichick. Someone will catch the passes eventually. However, there is one person to blame for all the struggles so far, Bill. The wide receiver position is in the condition that it is in because Bill thinks that you can find the same playmakers in the fifth round from Rutgers that you can find in the first round. Also, I'm almost ready to cut ties with Hightower. He looks like another big stiff linebacker that just makes tackles and not plays, a type of player Bill seems to covet. I still have hope that it will get better, but I don't believe, as constituted right now, we can beat good teams. Luckily, we don't play any this week, so I guess we'll drop to 3-0, making fans even more unhappy.
We need to talk a little bit about this game, don't you think?
Yeah. Sure.
Now,
you want to take some phone calls?
Now that the phone lines
phone,
are off.
Phones are
buzzing.
Stacking up again. We'll talk about it.
Go ahead.
Let's go to Jackson in Atlanta. Hey, Jackson.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Man, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm actually going to be going to the Falcons game when it comes here in Atlanta. That'll be my first one. But huge fans of you guys. I just had a few questions, particularly with the offense. With the young wide receivers, what I've seen is, you know, they I've seen flashes. You know what I mean? And that's a positive thing, I think, that eventually one day they can get it together. And I think they'll be good. I don't think these guys just suck. I just think that they're new, they're fresh, and it's going to take some time to get it together. What do you think?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Now, will all three of them produce, you know, this year? Probably not.
No, but on any given I think on any given game, one of those three can eventually be counted on to be that secondary piece that they need.
And I'm not sure who had the story today. It might have been Field Yates or
I'm sure
Reese
it was,
or somebody,
it was
but he went to the first year of like some of the greats. You know, Calvin Johnson, he had like 40 catches his first year and you know, four touchdowns, and he went down the list. It's really hard in the NFL.
I hate those.
Yeah, but it's hard.
I'll tell you why in a second.
But it's hard in the NFL as a receiver to immediately, you know, be that huge player in year one.
Tell me the amount of receivers. I think the Globe had something on the front page today about all the current rookies and all the, you know, how many catches they've had.
Maybe it was the Globe.
Okay.
I'm not, yeah.
Tell me how many guys come in and immediately get the opportunities that these guys have gotten.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
these guys have started. Kembrell Tompkins has started both games.
Terry Glenn had that opportunity.
And he caught 90 passes.
And he produced. Yeah.
You know, a lot of guys that get an opportunity to play produce. A lot of guys that don't produce don't get opportunities to play. You can make an argument that they weren't ready to produce or whatever. Calvin Johnson, to me, was obviously ready to produce it right away. But my point is, you know, how many passes could Eric Moulds have caught in Buffalo if they played him the first couple of years? He was a great player, but he didn't get a chance.
But he wasn't able to beat out the guy in front of him.
in that tremendous system that Buffalo has there.
I'm just saying, Larry Fitzgerald didn't have like an astronomical year his first year.
Yeah, he was great right away, immediately.
He was in the list.
I don't care what he caught for passes, Fred. He was great right away. With Tom Brady starting at left outside, X receiver or whatever you want to call it, he would have caught 80 passes. If he was Kenbrell Tompkins right now,
it's just hard, and I'm not.
It's not as hard as people say. That's a new blog post for me. I'm gonna look that up.
All right. I'm not the first to say it.
It's common misperception.
Okay. All right.
How many guys get the opportunities? I'm with Jackson.
Paul, let me ask you this question because I've watched every single play of every game. They're getting separation. It just seems like they don't know where to go, or they're not.
Well, do you ever think that's why they get the separation? Because they're not the way they're supposed to be?
Yeah, I guess so. I never thought about it like that.
But listen, your original premise, Jackson, I'm 100% behind. These guys will get better. I think they've shown flashes. They've all had their little flashes during the summer. We haven't really seen the flashes in games yet, but it will get better. And these guys, when they get more comfortable with Tom, I think they'll be able to show some production. I'm with you, Jackson, on this. I'm not ready to give up on these guys. It's a second-round pick, a third-round pick, and a rookie free agent. You're going to get some production out of these guys.
Do you think we made a mistake with a tight end position in the offseason? Because I heard all offseason was people talking about Zach Sudfeld. He's the baby Gronk. Man, this guy can't even stay on the field. He can't hold Gronk's jock strap.
No, that's ridiculous. Yeah, I agree with you.
He can't even get a completion to a wide receiver. You cannot tell me that Daniel Fields wouldn't have been a better on the roster than Zach Sudfeld at this point. I don't understand. I think they made a mistake in the tight end position. They knew they were not going to have Hernandez. They knew they were not going to have Gronk for a certain period of time. And we have Zach Sudfeld.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
When the cuts came out, that was my biggest surprise that they got rid of both Ballard and Fells. I was surprised.
And that's one of those things, you know, people say, Jackson. I think Jackson, thanks. That's a great point. People say, well, look, you know, Gronkowski's going to be back before the sixth game, so it was a wise move to put him on PUP. Well, keeping Gronk may have prevented you from keeping one of those other guys. Maybe if they had Gronk on PUP, Fells would be here, and maybe you would have been able to be a little bit more productive without Sudfeld in the first couple of games. Now, listen, the comeback to that is, well, they won both of the games, so what do you care how many they won by? And that's true. Ultimately, it doesn't matter how pretty it is. You won the game, you found a way to win it, and you were able to get by. But do you think that there's a possibility that Daniel Fells got cut because they didn't want to guarantee his salary for the year?
I do.
I do, too.
Yeah.
And I think that's a legitimate gripe for someone. You have $10 million in cap space. What do we care?
But then they would have brought him back by now, don't you think?
Well, no. Now Gronk is almost ready to come back.
Yeah, they still need, I guess they got Hooman, but he's not doing anything either. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Well, I'm sort of like you, Fred, but, I'm calling back. But, I'm like, rookie, just give him another shot, give him a chance. But still, I'd rather have Welker than have Amendola any day of the week. I don't care. With the first two games, we look a whole lot better than what they looked the last two games. I mean, That's Brady's security blanket. And I don't care what team you put him on. You put him with Manning. If you put him with Brees, you put him with Rodgers, he's still going to get his 100-something catches or close to it. He's still going to get his yards. You Mr. Reliable, not Mr. Glass. Not Mr. Glass. And I wouldn't have paid Amendola $36 million if he can't stay on the field. Wouldn't do it. I put it in the contract clause. You stay on the field, you guarantee this, you guarantee that. But other than that, no, man. I'll take Welker any day of the week. And I'm like Fred first, but, hey, it is what it is. And I wouldn't cut Fails either. But my question is Harrison going to be able to?
Harrison?
Harrison's on NFI. Harrison's not eligible to come off NFI until after week six.
I'll be there in a minute. Okay. All right, man. I got to go.
All right. Thanks, Eldridge.
Hung up on us.
Chris with a TIN. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to chime in on the whole panic thing here.
Yep.
And, part of it, I think, is obviously, you can make an argument with the way that they built the team. I know a lot of people want to say that. But for me, if aside from the whole Hernandez debacle and multiple surgeries to Gronk, I think if this team had their base offense, which is the two tight ends, these kids wouldn't be under such a microscope.
Well, absolutely.
That was my point, yeah. And that's why I think they should be catching more passes.
Yeah.
Because they've had more opportunities than most rookie receivers coming into a new team. They wouldn't be asked to do what these guys are being asked to do and given opportunities to do. But, yeah, it would be much more fair for Tompkins and Dobson and Boyce to be complementary parts of the offense as opposed to on Thursday night, last Thursday night, they were the key elements of the offense. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, I mean, if you're asking a guy that a rookie that you're hoping is going to be really, if you had Gronk, Amendola, and Hernandez healthy, again, obviously in the ideal team, you know, a fourth or a fifth option, then okay, fine. But now you're vaulting them up to 1 and 2, and they did get their reps in the summer, and I understand what people say about that, but my whole thing is if you get back just Gronk, it helps.
It'll help.
Sure it'll help, yeah.
But the question is, does it make you good enough? If you had Amendola and Gronk out there, are you good enough?
I'm with you. No, I don't. I'm with you in the whole talent.
The big picture?
The record, yeah. I don't think this team
is all that talented. If you have Amendola and Gronk out there and the defense improves, I think you can compete for a Super Bowl.
I don't know.
If my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
Well,
too.
Why not? I mean, what is so different from what I just explained? Two teams that have competed for the Super Bowl.
But there's a lot of ifs in there.
Right. But I'm just saying, if
I don't think the defense is talented enough to do what you just said it's going to do.
Gronk is coming
back. That's where we have a difference. I don't think the defense is anywhere near as
talented
as you do.
Gronk is coming back. We know that. If Amendola comes back and the defense improves, they can compete for a Super Bowl.
I agree. If everything falls into place, they can compete for a Super Bowl.
But we do that every season. This is the ifs that have to happen for the Patriots
to
compete.
But if you take Tom Brady out of the equation, they don't.
Okay, but we're not.
No, but what the point that Christian and I are trying to make to you is that the overall talent of the roster isn't commensurate with the amount of wins they generally have.
Okay.
Brady is responsible for that, mostly. Brady and Belichick.
Or Aaron Rodgers, or Peyton Manning, or Drew Brees. You know, go down the list. Take any of them out of the equation, and they're lost.
And I would say that most of those other teams that you mentioned have more talent around their quarterback than you do. That's all.
And I just think this year we have a lot more of those ifs than we've had in the past.
And that's how I feel.
I think that's why
I don't think this team is a Super Bowl contender. And I did think, say, 2 years ago was a Super Bowl contender. Or 3 years ago, the year they went 14-2. I thought those teams were more equipped to handle adversity than this one is.
Defensively?
All around. This team, I don't know why you have this confidence in this defense. I don't know what you've seen.
I've seen nothing but
wide open receivers in two games. That's all I've seen.
All right. Okay.
And quickly about the defense, it was an interesting stat when I was watching the San Francisco game the other night. They said that San Francisco was the team that blitzed the least in the league last year. I found that fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, that would be Belichick's argument. If you're that good, you don't need to blitz. But I don't watch San Francisco every week. And I kind of agree with one thing that Fred says, that he and I are in lockstep about. I don't really think any team in this league is very good defensively. I think the best defenses today.
There are no Chicago Bears.
The best defenses today are average at best.
Yeah. All right.
You limit the bleeding. Okay, guys, thanks.
All right, Christian.
Thanks, Christian.
All right, let's take a quick break. I got to go to the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
All right, quick break. We'll be right back.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether the sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder wait list and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots Ticket Exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. It's time for the Fred Kirsch Feet for Men Manscaping Tip of the Week.
This is from someone named Andrew. The title of his review is Do Not Put on Knob and Bollocks. Being a loose cannon who does not play by the rules, the first thing I did was ignore the warning and smear this all over my knob and bollocks. The bollocks I knew and loved are gone now. In their place is a maroon-colored bag of agony, which sends stabs of pain up my body every time it grazes against my thigh or an article of clothing. I am suffering so that you don't have to. Heed my lesson. Do not put on knob and bollocks. Although I am giving the product a 5, because despite the fact that I think my bollocks might fall off, they are now completely hairless.
Now, here's the always smooth Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how smooth I was minutes ago.
Great balls of fire. I like that.
I had a from-the-heart moment.
Oh, just now? I know. Your face, just to let everybody know, people are dying for the the cameras in here, but Fred just all of a sudden, he was like in midstream, and his face, his expression changed diametrically opposite to what it was. He started taking off his headphones before he had even said he was going to break, and he got out of here in a minute.
We were lucky I wasn't getting a lunch or something. We would have had dead air.
It was unbelievable how fast
he got out of
here.
You would have had more than dead air, let me tell you that much.
All right.
webradio@patriots.com. Paul and I are here. Eric's going to be by soon. Andy's out with a daycare issue, but we'll be doing the picks as soon as Eric gets here. Chad writes in. He says, Brady should be pissed. I'd be pissed, too, if I were Brady. Didn't he take a smaller salary for the sake of the team?
No.
Hasn't he really worked with only one elite receiver? Is that not a shame? One of the greatest QBs of all time can't get star players around him. I'm losing faith in the Patriots' ability to get one more before he retires. So.
Yeah, listen, I the other part of it, has he? How many star receivers? Yeah, I mean, I think you can make an argument that Moss is the only truly elite player, but Welker is certainly good. Troy Brown was certainly good. He's had other, Deion Branch was certainly good. He's had other players that were pretty good, but not great. You're right. The star that he had was Moss, and when they brought him here in 07, that was a better player than he had ever been around. I don't know. Seems to me that he's been surrounded by a lot more other talent in the past than wide receivers. I don't understand why it doesn't count when you had an elite defense that had, 6 or 7 Pro Bowlers on it, Seymours and the McGinnis and the Bruskies and Harrisons
and
Laws and Samuels.
You could have all those guys is because you didn't have to pay a star receiver because you had Tom Brady.
But now you have neither.
Right. Although Hightower's going to be a star and Chandler Jones is going to be a star.
Well, certainly they're not preventing you from paying for a star receiver.
Michelle writes
on
in.
On rookie contracts.
Listening to what's going on this morning, holy jeez. Everybody needs to calm the bleep down. Yes, patience is key here, and we have to trust it's going to work out.
You see what you've done?
Every year is different, and this team this year will be in the running for sure. We'll win the division. We'll make the playoffs. There's a lot of talent, I feel, on defense, and they will hold the line so our offense can score more points when we need them. In Wilfork, Mankins, Tlaib, and Spikes, I trust we are going to be fine. It's the rest of the world that wants to see us fail, as usual. They're all haters because we are the best and have proven that over and over. I'm a little concerned, absolutely. When we get to play New Orleans and Denver, I see those games as being our biggest challenge to win, but I honestly believe we'll be 12-4 this year. Keep up the good work. One day, perhaps, I'll send you lunch all the way from Los Angeles.
Okay.
And we'll eat it all the way here in Foxborough.
Absolutely.
Sam in London says, please, 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 stop sending one of you down to the locker room. It just isn't the same without Big Head making a fool of himself. Without him there, Paul has one less person to agree with about. to say I agree with. As for the offense, I almost literally have no opinion, as I have no idea how it's going to turn out. It's almost sort of exciting and novel.
I wish we had that kind of analysis. I agree with you. I have no idea how it's going to turn out either. It hasn't happened yet. Thanks for the analysis.
Love from the UK. FYI, Eric is almost always wrong when explaining some piece of culture from overseas. It's quaint and very American.
In all seriousness.
He was right about the marmalade.
We are having whatever it was called. It wasn't marmalade.
Marmite.
I wish that we had a solution in all seriousness.
To Eric?
No, to the locker room issue.
Yeah.
But, you know, somebody has to go in the locker room, and generally two of us have to go in the locker room now. We're missing Andy today, so I didn't want to leave Fred all by himself. But Eric had to go in the locker room, and I agree with you guys. It's not as good when we're not all here. Right. And I know he was, you know, just poking fun because me and Andy tend to beat up on you. We tend to gang up on you, Fred, but it's not necessarily intentional that it works out that way. It just happens to work out that way.
Right. I like the Patriots. You guys don't.
Well, I like the Patriots. I like football, too. And I don't just look at things through the Patriots' side. That's where we differ.
Chester in Portland says, since I brought this topic up on Tuesday's show, I wanted to mention that after hearing Paul's comment just now, I want to point out that this team would have had 5 rings if we closed out both Super Bowl matchups with the Giants.
Well, I agree.
These situations can be simulated in practice, but the real...
I agree. If they had beaten the Giants both times, they'd have 5 rings.
But the real-time experience will build more confidence in this young team going forward. And thanks, Thomas and Marilyn, for backing up my point.
Okay, listen, this is my point with this close thing. If they play Cincinnati in a couple of weeks, in Atlanta in a couple of weeks, in New Orleans, and then Denver, and they win close games... Now I can sit there and I can understand what you're talking about. But I'm sorry. To beat a bad team in a close game does not help you beat a good team in the playoffs. It doesn't. And the Patriots have won, as you pointed out, Fred, plenty of close games in the playoffs in the past. Right or wrong?
True.
They've won some close games. They've lost some close games. More often than not, when they lose in the playoffs, it ain't close.
But every year,
because generally when you give the Patriots a chance to win, what do they do, Fred?
They win. But every year is different, and you need to establish yourself every year.
Yeah, but you can't possibly give me an argument that it's good beat Buffalo by 2 points on the last play of the game as opposed to beating them by 4 touchdowns
last year. It would have been better to demolish Buffalo because then we would say, wow, the Patriots are a good team, and that's what good teams do to bad teams.
Exactly.
Unless Baltimore ends up being a good team, and then in which case you're saying, wow, that was a good win week one. Chester also says, since we're talking about Danny Amendola.
I don't know how Baltimore got involved, but leave him alone. He's on a roll.
I mean Buffalo. Since we're talking about Danny Amendola, I thought I'd share that I took my nephew down to buy a pack of football cards, and what do you know? There was a Danny Amendola Patriots card inside. Once the excitement began, the dismay shortly followed when we realized that the piece of gum was replaced by a Band-Aid. Doo-dum-dum. There you go. Let's see. Josh in Waterloo says, hey, Pony Express Riders. I got my PFW in the mail. Looks like it was a close game in Buffalo. Can't wait to kill the Jets. According to the preview, the Jets don't stand much of a chance. I did a little math, even though, to my understanding, there would be no math. The paper travels about 5 miles an hour. Is there any way to sign up for delivery by carrier pigeon? Honestly, there is a reason I only buy the paper to support this show. You really need to find a way to give us fans more show. And, Fred, you got to hurry and do the picks.
Waterloo, Iowa.
Carol, look up Waterloo, Iowa, and see what's going on there.
See what's going on there.
You know, we got to get this guy's paper.
Where are all these flies coming from?
I don't know.
Thank you, guy.
But it's
Eric's here.
It's disturbing.
If you couldn't tell by my
not that
warm,
Eric's
my
here,
warm
but
greeting.
The flies.
Need one of those things that like they fly into and they disintegrate those zappers.
Oh yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Let's see. Eric's getting plugged in here. Hey, Eric.
Yeah, I use his.
Hi, Freddie.
I use his microphone jack because there's no static in it.
Oh.
Lions sounds like you're taking off.
So Eric just came from all kinds of places.
Not all kinds. Just one. I think that's where the flies came from, though.
The locker room?
Yeah, because
they are. A lot of locker room flies again?
They're dive bombing people.
They have the strips hanging down?
They don't, but they need to.
They might have to get those
back.
They
must have hatched or something.
They're big.
What kind of larvae they got going there?
And they're nasty. They're nasty. They're
just mean.
They're ornery.
Yeah. All right.
Nasty flies.
So what, besides dodging flies, what was going on in the locker room?
A little bit less active than yesterday, but Gerard Mayo talked for, I think, about 90 seconds before the crowd just said, all right, that's enough. He's not like he is when he comes on PFW in Progress.
But it was so bad that people just stopped asking questions?
Yeah, it just dispersed.
Wow.
Yeah, very quickly.
Yeah, Gerard might be the best at defusing interviews. I told you. I told you the story.
Except when he's on this show.
On the he was
Kraft
one of the captains that spoke following, the day before camp really officially opened, when they had the captains speak on the Hernandez situation. And his lasted so short. And he started walking. He said so little that everybody just didn't go near him anymore. And he started walking down the stairs. He turned around and he looked, and he had the smirk of a smile on.
Of success.
Like he was so proud of himself that he diffused that so quickly.
Yeah. LeGarrette Blount was a popular guy today, obvious reasons, but he, insisted,
didn't want to get into Tampa Bay?
Well, he insisted that there's no extra motivation. It's just another game. He's just trying to get better. It's whatever. But,
this is the week that he takes a kick back to the house?
Wouldn't that be funny?
No, I mean literally goes back to his house with the kick.
Oh, I see what you did.
Thanks.
Who else? Ninkovic talked for a little while, as he does every Thursday.
Ninko.
Usual stuff from him. I'm trying to think who else. Will Fork. A little bit. He was also surprisingly shorter than usual.
He usually goes forever.
He usually, talks for a long time. But
no Gronk today?
No, he made an appearance, but he didn't say anything.
Amendola?
Didn't see him.
He wasn't even in there?
Didn't see him in there, no.
Oh.
No, I was in that,
was he
that
in there
area
yesterday?
Too. He, I think, made a brief walk through from the far.
He rode through on his wheelchair?
Yeah. Well, no, I was actually staking out the end where we normally come in.
Yes.
Because I'm trying to get the mother of all getting to knows, as you know, and almost had success today, but he kept on.
TB?
1-2-1-2, yeah. Okay.
Is that set up?
The wheels have been greased, and we're trying to make that happen.
Yeah, but all the answers are, like, who would play you in your movie? Well, I would play me. Who would you be if you could be someone else?
Know?
I would be me.
How do you know?
So what?
How do you know
I
that?
Think that would be funny.
You
tell me you wouldn't read that getting to know?
I definitely would read it,
of
but
course.
I know all the answers.
No, you don't.
But yet that doesn't
you think
stop you
know
from
all
thinking,
the answers.
That doesn't stop you from thinking you want to interview Bill Belichick, despite the fact that you know all those answers.
No, I think if you do a good job, you can get some good stuff.
You wouldn't
stuff
know
out
the answer
and we'll
if you
get
did a
some
good, job.
Good stuff out of TB12.
Maybe we should do a getting to know Bill Belichick.
Let me focus on
I would absolutely love to sit down and do that, and then he would probably say, how long are we going here?
No. You prep them. You say, look, this is
of
lighthearted.
Of course I would.
So how long are we going here?
That would be good. Let's try for that. We're going to request it.
No, let's focus on the quarterback first.
I'll request it, just like I request every year to talk to him in the offseason.
All right. It's time to do the picks.
The
that time of the,
is it
the
that
show.
Time already?
It's Thursday.
Even with only three of us, we have to do it this early.
Yeah.
Well, we can get our analysis in this time because Andy's not here.
Big week for everybody. Good week for everybody. Eric. Eric takes the first place.
Getting out of here. I hate the, always hitting my
first
hand
place this week overall was Eric at 13-3, followed by Andy at 12-4. But not bad for being tied for last. Fred, you and I 11-5. Nothing wrong with an 11-5 week. If that's the worst, I'll take it. But very impressive is Fred Kirsch is continuing to set the pace with the spread.
With the spread?
Well, that's what separates the
men from the boys.
Yeah.
9-6-1
wow.
for Fred.
Wow.
8-7-1 for Eric. 7-8-1 for Andy and I. So here are the season standings through 2 weeks.
Okay.
I am still in the lead picking the regular games. Just the winners, 23-9. Andy and Eric are 22-10, and Fred is 21-11. So
very close.
Up.
Very close.
Very bunched up. Mm-hmm. With the spread, the only one above 500,
Fred
Kirsch.
Wow.
17-13-2. Eric and I are 14-16-2, and Andy, bringing up the rear, as usual. 12-18-2.
But, you know, none of us should be embarrassed, because I looked at the Globe today, and, like, the guys that they have picking are, like, 12-20 against the spread. They're awful. Awful.
Yeah, well, Andy's not much better than that. He has two ties. Otherwise, he'd be 12-20.
Yeah. But that's in print. We're on the radio. It doesn't mean anything on the radio. All right, so let's go. Andy's not here. He'll have to send in his picks.
He actually just texted me and said, what's the spread for tonight's game? I'll text in my pick.
Wow.
And I'm going to write back right now. Philly -3.
All right, good. He's on the ball. He's got nothing else to do.
Oh.
All right, tonight, the Thursday night debacle. Kansas City at Philadelphia.
This could be a good game.
Very interesting to see
if it's good football.
Who these teams are, right. You know, this trying to establish themselves. You know, is Kansas City for real? You know, and is Philadelphia for real?
Can they establish the fact that they're for real tonight?
No.
Okay.
It's a step toward that, though. It's another piece in the puzzle.
Philadelphia by 3, as I just mentioned.
I think I'm going to go with the road Kansas City shifts.
Oh.
With a minor upset here. I think it's exciting watching the Chip Kelly offense and that brand of football, but I think sooner or later that might catch up to them. And this could be an opportunity for, you know, a little bit of motivation for Andy Reid going back to Philadelphia. They're a lot better at the quarterback position, obviously, now with Alex Smith. I like their win last week, gritty though it was at home over Dallas. I'm going to take the Chiefs ball.
Okay.
Andy takes Philadelphia, and I will stick with Philadelphia as well. I will go with my tried and true, very scientific method.
Two bad teams.
I'll take the home team, okay. The Eagles.
I'm going with Kansas City. I like Eric's thinking. I also, you know,
I have nothing to argue with you about that.
Andy Reid coming back there. A lot of times we've seen it here when a coach comes back, gives the team trouble. You know, so I like.
You certainly can make the argument that he knows the Eagles better than Chip Kelly knows
sure,
the Chiefs.
Absolutely. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs in an upset. And now Paul's cue. It wouldn't be an upset.
No, it would be. They're underdogs by 3. Right. I don't really understand the whole coach going back thing.
Yeah.
Like, the thing, it was a coach leaving here and coaching somewhere else. And Bill Belichick has been here for 14 years.
But when Parcells came back, he always gave us trouble. You know, coaches that come back to their old team.
Yeah, I think, well, anyway. What? I think it's different. I mean, this the team is, like, the Eagles are not Andy Reid's Eagles.
No,
they're playing a whole different. It's like they're not even playing football. It's a whole different sport.
Let's see. Sunday at 1, Houston at Baltimore.
Houston by 2.5.
Houston at Baltimore. Oh, this is a tough game.
It's a very tough game.
It could be a good game, though, too.
We don't know who these teams are yet this year.
Well, especially Houston, because this is a team that's supposed to be really good, and they've been really lucky, kind of like New England in a way, to have won both of their games, coming back from behind the way they did. Baltimore just going through a little bit of a transition.
But winning that close game in San Diego will set them up for, you know, winning close games.
Gotta win close games.
Yeah.
That's the key. Close games.
Baltimore's favored, Paul?
No. Houston's favored by 2.5.
On the road?
Yes.
I'm going to.
Do you want a lifeline?
No, I'm going to take the Ravens at home in the upset. I just think I don't like the way Houston has started out this year. Winning those two games. And I think going on the road, asking them to do it a third time, they're good, but I'm going to give the Super Bowl champs some credit here, and I'm going to give them the win at home.
Yeah, I'm going to jump all over the points for a team like the Ravens at home. Home dog doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't think either one of these teams is very good right now. I think that they have a chance to both be good, but neither one is very good right now. I'm going to take the points at home.
How many
Baltimore.
Points are we talking?
2.5.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Houston both ways. I just don't think Baltimore's offense is going to be able to put up enough. And
I could easily see that happening. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think either one of these teams is very good right now.
Okay, so I'm going to go with Houston. All right, Sunday at 1, Giants at Carolina. Giants need to bounce
Carolina
back
by 1.
A terrible performance against the Broncos, and the Panthers might just be the recipe they need.
I don't know what to make of this Carolina team either. They're favored by one at home. I will give the Giants the benefit of the doubt because I think they're the better team top to bottom. And so I say that they'll go on the road and win a tough game at Carolina.
Yeah, I like the Giants too. Fred, I'm going to apologize for you for carving out more time. Eric needs some time this week to make
his
picks.
Yeah,
these are tough games. I have to take over for Andy.
Yeah, but don't
Andy's
you usually write them down before you get here?
No, I usually go with the ones I make in the paper, but I didn't bring the paper. So.
Okay.
I have no idea what I picked in the paper.
I try to be consistent, you know.
All right.
Giants.
You're going with I have to go with the Giants, too, although, geez, Carolina. You know, that'll
put
one
of these teams is going to be 0-3, and
right?
I think they're both pretty good teams, but one of them's going to be 0-3 and might be all done.
Yep. Green Bay at Cincinnati, Sunday at 1.
Green Bay at Cincinnati.
Oh, another good game.
Cincinnati, another home dog, 2.5.
Ooh.
Green Bay by 2.5.
Boy. I like the Bengals in this game. They're at home. I think they're going to be the eventual AFC North champion. And even though I think Rodgers is obviously the better quarterback, I like what Cincinnati's got going on. And for Green Bay to go on the road, I think that's a tough ask. So I'm going to take the Bengals at home.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be a tough game. I think Green Bay will win it, though. Monday night hangover for Cincinnati. Even though they get to stay home, I just think Green Bay is a better team.
Yeah, I wasn't that impressed with Cincinnati's win last week against the Steelers. I'm going to go with Green Bay. Green Bay looked like world beaters.
That's a division slobber knocker, though, Fred.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I know.
Cincinnati.
Those only count when the Patriots are involved.
St. Louis at Dallas, Sunday at 1.
St. Louis at Dallas. Dallas by 4.
This is a tough
Not
one, too.
Tough games.
Yeah, this is a tough week.
This
is a tough week. Because I don't really believe in Dallas, but then coming off that loss in Kansas City, you know what? This is the end for Garrett. This is the beginning of the end for Garrett. St. Louis goes on the road, gets a good win,
okay.
And this starts the people in Dallas talking about it's time for a change.
Can't happen soon enough.
Yeah, I'll take Dallas. I'm not very impressed with Jeff Fisher or St. Louis. I agree with Eric. I think Dallas stinks too, but you know my theory.
Yeah, two bad teams.
Two bad teams. I'll take the home team.
Is St. Louis bad?
Yes.
Really? Yeah. I don't know. This is tough. I guess I got to go with Dallas. Got to go with Dallas in this game. But, geez, that's a tough matchup in week 3. Cleveland at Minnesota, Sunday at 1.
Who, Fred?
Cleveland.
There we go.
At Minnesota. Sunday at 1.
Minnesota by 5.5.
Brian Hoyer gets his first start for the Browns, and what do? They trade away his best player. Nice. Way to go, Cleveland. Minnesota, who I don't think is all that good, has far more talent at the running back position. This is going to be a tough thing for Brian Hoyer in his first start. I'll take Minnesota and the points, but just barely. I think Hoyer will keep that close somehow.
Really?
Yeah, I think Minnesota will blow them out.
Yeah. I got to go with Minnesota as well.
I'm just saying that as more of a sentimental thing for Hoyer.
Yeah,
I have no sentimentality for Brian.
Wow.
Hoyer.
Yeah, Cleveland puts up a steamer.
I don't really care about him much either way.
Tampa Bay. Oh, wait a minute. I have
wait, you
got to
skip, jump over that.
Cleveland puts up a steamer.
I just got it now. All right.
Sunday at 1, Arizona at New Orleans.
Orleans by 7.5.
Arizona at New Orleans. Saints by 7.5.
Yes.
I'll take the Saints at home to win by 10 or more.
Yeah, I like the Saints in the game. I hate that half point, but I'm going to lay it. I think New Orleans' defense is so bad. I hate laying 7.5 points, but I will do it, and I will have my fingers crossed.
Yeah, I'll take the Saints, but I'll take the points as
this
well.
This is why Freddie has carved out an early lead. He recognizes these games, and he's willing to go out on a limb.
Sure.
He also gets to see what we pick first, and then
I'm happy to pick first.
I'm happy.
San Diego at Tennessee, 1:00.
San Diego
Tennessee by 3.
At Tennessee, by 3. Mm. Oh, but this is tough to ask the Chargers to come back east again and win another game. I just don't. I agree with what you said a couple of weeks ago, that Tennessee is the most anonymous team in the league. I don't really know what they have outside of Jake Locker.
And he stinks.
And he's not that good. So you know what? I'm going to have to go with...
You would have gone no matter what they were playing. You
no, just... because we have the other sound mic. Go F yourself, San Diego.
Right.
So
okay.
You have to admit, it's funny every week. I'm going to take Tennessee, despite the fact that they are anonymous, and I don't know who's on the team, because everybody?
Two bad teams, you'll go with the home team.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tennessee as well. San Diego, I just don't think they're going to do much this year. And Tennessee, I think they're still they're playing tough.
They're playing good defense,
yeah,
I'll say that.
Yeah. Detroit at Washington, Sunday at 1.
Washington by 2.
Really? Washington by 2, huh?
Yeah.
Detroit had the bad loss in Arizona last week. Game they shouldn't have lost because they're a better team than that. They really are. Although Schwartzy, I think his clock might start to be ticking.
I've been saying that for a while.
But RG3 is
Detroit,
still...
Detroit, they don't make changes quick.
No.
Over there.
No.
They kept that Millen guy.
They need a bailout, Fred.
They need a bailout, yep.
RG3 is not the RG3 we saw last year. He's hobbling around there. I don't even know if this is good for him. But Detroit goes on the road, makes up for last week. They win big.
I agree with Eric. I think Detroit wins this game. I think they take advantage of a terrible Redskins defense. Calvin Johnson has a big game. Lions on the road.
Me too. Detroit.
I hate putting faith in the Lions on the road, but I'm going
to
do it.
All right, now we move to 4:05. Atlanta at Miami.
If you weren't
Miami.
Paying attention, I just ventured away from my theory of
you
the
did.
Two bad
you
teams
did.
There.
This will be a big scouting game for the Patriots. Atlanta at Miami.
Miami by 2.
The popular thing here would be to say, oh, Atlanta's got all these injuries. They're falling apart, yada, yada. Miami 2-0. Forget it. Atlanta's still the better team.
Okay.
They're going to go on the road and win this game very easily.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be easy, but I think Eric is right. Atlanta will win the game. Lot of injuries there. They lost 5 starters last week. Not going to be easy, I don't think. I think Miami defensively is better. I'm not convinced about their quarterback just yet. I need to see some more. I'm going to take this. I don't think they're ready to win a game like this. Now, a lot of people start talking about
right.
them, see how they handle it. A lot of people patting them on the back. I think Atlanta wins this game.
Well, if Miami does win the game, boy, those Dolphin fans are going to come out of the woodwork. But that's why I'm rooting for Atlanta, because they're insufferable. Now, Paul, that's your cue for saying worse than the Patriots fans?
Well, I automatically just assumed that was rhetorical and that you were just saying, you know, almost as bad as the Patriots fans.
Sunday, 4:25, Buffalo at the Jets.
Oh, my God.
Jets by 2.
Remember all those good, tough games we were talking about earlier?
Right.
This is a bad, tough game.
Yeah. I mean, every one of these games are, who knows?
I mean, really bad,
What's
tough
the difference
game?
Between St. Louis and these teams, please? They all stink.
I'd
the whole league stinks.
I'd rather watch Sam Bradford play.
The whole league stinks.
Oh, come on.
It does. That's why the Patriots have a shot.
What's the number again, Paul?
2. Jets by 2.
Jets by 2. Two bad teams at home. No. I'm going to go with the road team. I'm going to go against your theory, Paul. I think E.J. Manuel's the better quarterback, and that's what I'll give Bills the credit for.
I'm going right back to my theory. Jets.
I'm going with Buffalo because I want them to win. Not enough bad things can happen to the Jets. Jacksonville at Seattle, 4:25 Sunday.
They shouldn't even play this game.
Seattle by?
14? 14? 13 and a hay.
17.
19 and a half.
Oh, my God. Wow.
You know what? I'll take Seattle at home and
what's the biggest
the
spread
call.
Ever?
I don't know.
Because I know the
Patriots had some in the 20s.
They did.
Oh, did they?
I think they did, yeah.
Oh, really?
21 maybe.
Okay.
20 and a hay.
Because I haven't seen a 19 and a hay in a while. I mean, that's...
I think the Seahawks
Patriots
can do
had in the 20s in 07. I know that.
Well, they beat the Niners by 19. I just can't imagine what they're going to do to Jacksonville at home.
Yeah, I mean, Seattle's the play here.
And this is a... Jacksonville stayed out there for the week, I would imagine, right? Because they just played the Raiders in Oakland.
I don't know.
I don't know what they did.
I'm not going to help, but
I don't know the travel
that's
habits
not
of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's not going to help them if they did. Yeah. They're going to get run over.
Yeah, I don't like laying that amount of points, but I have to.
Right. There's a reason why. I mean,
if it was in Jacksonville, okay, I'd take those points.
If it was in Jacksonville, it wouldn't be favored by 19.5.
Indianapolis at San Francisco.
San Francisco by 10.5. It's an indication of how much better people think the NFC is than the AFC.
Yeah.
You know, a playoff team from last year going to an NFC team and getting 10.5 points.
I will take San Fran at home, but I will take the number.
Okay.
I will take San Fran to bounce back and bounce back big. Jim Harbaugh against his former protege.
Yeah. Very funny commercial that he has out now. Have you
think
seen
the it? Niners will win big.
Yeah. The one where he goes, you win your NFL fantasy, and the guy has Jim Harbaugh coming and coaching his son's peewee football team, and Harbaugh's throwing a tantrum. And
does he have the
he's got the
sharpie? Does he have the sharpie around?
Yeah.
I like it.
I'm
why
gonna,
don't you just give him his cake?
Yeah, I'll go with San Francisco.
Best tweet
both
ever
ways.
By Mary Paletti.
Yeah,
just give him his cake.
San Francisco both ways. Sunday night, 8:30. Chicago at Pittsburgh.
Chicago at Pittsburgh. Chicago by 2.5. Ooh. How the mighty Steelers have fallen, Fred. Mm. Home underdogs.
Boy, oh boy, this is a good tough game. Fred, we're back to the good games that are tough here because...
Well, as Fred would say, we don't know.
We don't know.
I think...
We'll know at the end of the season.
I will give the Bears their due. I say they go on the road and they win and cover. I think the Steelers are going to fall to 0-3 for the first time in I don't know how long, but it's been before... what's his name's been coaching there? Tomlin.
Yeah, the Bears are 2-0 with two home wins that I think they were rather fortunate to record. I think that the bubble bursts.
Well, that's true.
In Pittsburgh. I don't think the Pittsburgh Steelers are very good, but I think at home they are proud and they find a way to win a game that some people don't think they should.
I'm going to go with Chicago. Yep, I'm going to go with Chicago. This is another one where I just don't want the Steelers to win and I have no idea which is the better team.
And you wonder why at the end of the day when I kick myself when I'm losing to this guy. I mean,
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
He doesn't pick what he thinks is going to happen. He picks what he wants to happen, and I'm behind. I'm three games behind him, you know, with the spread. It makes me nauseous.
Oakland at Denver, Monday night.
Denver by?
Oh.
14.
18
and
22.
15. Oh, okay. 77. Some biggins this week.
I will take the home Broncos and the number. I think they will crush their AFC West rivals.
Yeah, I don't like laying that amount of points, but as I did with Seattle, I will do it. I think too much offense.
Yeah.
Tyvon Branch out for the Raiders, too.
I'm going to take the secondary.
You might need a guy in the secondary playing Denver.
I'm going to take those points this time.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Obviously, Denver wins.
Yeah.
But...
Now, there's no ulterior motive on that one.
Yeah. Of course not.
What? What do you think?
You're going with the same thing. You want Oakland to keep it close, so... You know,
why?
So next week, when everybody's saying, I can't believe the Patriots are 3-0 in every game, well, Denver, I mean, Denver was supposed to win by 15.
You are too much of a conspiracy theorist. I simply just don't want to take two games where I'm giving up that many points. So I'm hedging my bets.
So I'm going to take the one that I'm giving more points that involves the NFC team that I don't care about.
Wow.
And I'm going to give the point.
I think Oakland's better than Jacksonville. I do.
Well, they played last week, and it was kind of a toss-up game.
All right, now we go back to Sunday at 1, Tampa Bay at New England.
Patriots by 7.5.
Boy. I could see the Patriots slipping and losing this game based on the way they played the past 2 weeks, but I don't think it's going to happen. That'll start next week. But no, I'm not. I wanted Fred to get mad. Patriots will win this game.
If they lose next week, it's not slipping.
They will win this game. Tampa will keep it within the number for most of the game, but in the end, Patriots will eke out a cover as well.
I agree with Eric that this game is much more of a toss-up than I ever thought it would be. I think here's what scares me, Freddie. I think Tampa's going to be a very desperate team. I think Tampa has some talent. Unlike the last two, where they just didn't have the horses. This team has some talent, individual talent. The problem they have is they don't have a quarterback. But I think that when you have a team that they think this team was ready, they invested in this team. They wanted it to win now. But by win, I mean contend for a playoff spot, you know, be in the mix in the NFC. They're 0-2. They didn't expect that. But as Belichick said, they are, you know, very, very close to being 2-0. I think they keep this game close. I think it's going to be a dogfight similar to the Jets game. I don't expect it to be quite as low scoring. But I'm going to take the Patriots to win, but only by a touchdown, 24-17.
You know, unlike the last 2 weeks where we were like, well, you know, let's think of scenarios in which, you know, the Patriots could lose. And, you know, there are a lot of scenarios in which the Patriots could lose this game. No doubt. I mean, this is basically the same thing, plus, like Paul said, maybe a better team.
And you have some desperation. Yeah. And now, listen, it could go one of two ways. I think Tampa could mail it in,
right,
because I think that they are starting to revolt on Schiano. I think some people might want Freeman out, and they feel if they lay down again, maybe they can get the rookie in there. So it could go either way. I think it's too early in the season for that, and I think they have a desperation to them that works to their advantage. But I could definitely see the Patriots blowing them out because Tampa just lays down like dogs. I could see that happening.
And that too is the scenario I'm going with. Patriots blow them out. I think that I don't know how it's going to happen, but I just have the feeling that they're going to.
That's the analysis that you get only on PFW.
They're
going to
score. The Patriots will score in the mid 30s this week.
Really?
The mid 30s.
How are the rookies going to do at receiver?
That could happen.
Yeah. Fred,
what's that?
How are the rookies?
I mean, it
would take three defensive
scores.
They're
going to run
the
ball really well. You know,
Legarrette going to have a big day against his old team, or what?
I think Ridley's going to have a.
Ridley? I don't think anybody on offense will have a big day, but I do think that the Buccaneers could put some points on the board for you.
All right.
Think Josh Freeman could throw a couple of pick sixes.
So that's it for this week's picks.
I'll
win again, as I have every week. And John Rook is here for the Patriots playbook. Hey, John.
You guys are nuts.
Fred can't tell you who's going to win, but he can tell you how close it's going to be.
Right.
Judging, he's in last place picking the games, but
listen,
he's in first place
in
the spread.
I'm all for winning and getting on the bandwagon and all that kind of stuff. But based on what I've seen in 2 weeks, no. No,
what?
You guys are off your rocker.
Why am I off the rocker?
You don't think
the Patriots are going to win this game?
I'd say that they will be challenged severely to win this game.
Well, okay, so are they going to win?
That's what Paul said.
I'm going to say yes.
That's what I said.
That's
okay.
What Paul said.
And I took the points.
Okay.
All right.
What are the points?
7.5.
Okay. All right. I'll go along with that then.
We're not off our rocker.
I'm the only one that's off my rocker.
No, Fred is
Eric, on his rocker.
And
Eric?
I'm fine with that.
Fred's
I said they would cover medication. Late.
Don't you love when he declares himself the only one?
Yeah, off my rocker.
I said they would cover late.
You said a backdoor cover.
No, Eric says they're going to cover.
I said they're going to blow him out.
Oh, that is different.
Yeah.
Bottom line is you both laid 7.5 points.
Right.
Okay. And John thinks you're both off your rocker.
All right.
I just didn't like the fact that he included me with you guys.
All right, well, John can spend the next 2 hours explaining why, you know, we're off our rocker.
John is firmly entrenched in his rocker.
That's exactly correct.
Right.
Now he's going to put on his lights and do some light reading in that rocker.
He's going to go
deep
spelunking.
Discussion. Right. Yes, I'm going spelunking.
All right, John, have a good show with the playbook. And the Football Nation's up at 4 o'clock after that. Another full day on Patriots.com radio. We'll see you next Tuesday. On a hippie trailhead full of zombies, I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.